All right, I want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Soulmate Church, and we are in the Gospel of John. You guys can't tell I have a lot of fun with that kind of stuff, can you? Yeah. God's given me a wonderful voice, and I like to play games with it, right? You know. We are in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verses 4 through 6, and we are doing How to Have Your Prayers Answered, Part 2. So we started last week on a message on how to have your prayers answered, and we said that prayer was a subject that we need to continuously hear about and something that we need to constantly be reapplying to our lives. Prayer is a privilege that is granted to a believer by a loving God. It's a privilege granted to a believer by a loving God. Prayer is the way that God fellowships with us. We speak to Him and He speaks to us. Now, for it to be a fellowship, you know, we have to stop talking and then let Him talk for a little while, right? We have to listen to what He has to say. Because if we do all the talking, then it's just a speech we're giving, right? We're speechifying. And you know, God wants our fellowship, not our speechifying, right? He wants to have a relationship with you. And prayer is such a powerful privilege because prayer can do anything that God can do. Prayer is unlimited in its power because prayer brings God into action. Effective prayer is essential to any believer if they are going to live a victorious Christian life. Do you agree with that? Amen? You guys agree? Are you guys even awake this morning? Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, okay. Do you agree with that? Amen. All right. So, since we believe that this is all true, I want to talk to you about what I'm going to call six keys to answered prayer. Now, I didn't make these up. I got these from somebody else, but that's okay. They're from God, right? And these are the six keys to answered prayer. Now, the scripture tells us that if we'll pray using these six keys, God is going to hear your prayer. And when God hears your prayer, your life is going to be blessed. When God hears your prayer, your life is going to be blessed. Now, just as a reminder, I want to be real clear here that this is not about name it, claim it prayers. That is not biblical. If you want to argue with me about that after class, you come on up and I'll set you straight, okay? We do not have the Almighty God of all creation at our beck and call. We cannot command Him to do anything. He commands us. This is about finding out what God wants for you and then praying for that. The prayer that is answered is a prayer that begins in heaven. And what that means is it's the prayer that begins with God's will for your life. Find out what that is and then pray for it. That's how you get your prayers answered. Now, I also want to remind everyone that when we come to God in prayer, we're coming to the Father. We're asking God for the Father for this prayer, right? And the only way we can come to the Father in prayer is through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are praying to the Father, and it must go through Jesus Christ. He is the only way to get to the Father. John 16:23 says, And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask of who? The Father, in my name, he will give it to you. Jesus says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. You're not asking Jesus when you pray, you're asking the Father. Now, I'm going to step aside here, and because a lot of times I'll be talking to the Lord. I'll say things like, in the name of Jesus, at the end of my prayer. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I don't want you to misunderstand. If we're wrong in who we pray to, Jesus versus the Father, the Holy Spirit's going to correct that. if our heart's in the right place, and it's going to get to the right place. I just want you to understand the concept of who your prayer is going to and the parts of the three parts of the Trinity and the role that they play in that. And so it's the Father that you're praying for. It's the Jesus whose name you're praying in and through his power. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute. And it's the Holy Spirit who is your interpreter for your prayers, okay? So I don't want everybody walking away, oh, I can't. And I will continue to say in the name of Jesus and for his sake at the end of my prayer. Just don't think of it as a talisman that says, if I say that at the end of my prayer, Jesus is going to do what I want him to do. That's not the case. If you're recognizing that you're praying in the name of Jesus, great. I mean, you can say that all day long if that's what you want to say, right? And I say it. So I just don't want you to think of it as the talisman that says, this is going to get my prayer answered and everything else in my life is all screwed up. That isn't going to happen, okay? So any questions about all that before I go on? All right. Jesus says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father, you're not asking Jesus when you pray, you're asking the Father. You pray in the name of Jesus through the power of Jesus, but you're asking the Father. It is the Father that we need to reach in prayer. And the only way we can come to the Father is through the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ brings us to the Father. He walks us in the door, and he brings us to the Father. And he brings our prayers to the Father. Now, we covered the first two keys last week, and because we have so much to cover today, I'm going to just briefly state them. We may not even get through all six of the keys today, and I hope we do. Otherwise, we'll have to have a part three next week, right? So I'm just going to briefly state the first two, and if you want to hear the full text of these keys, and go listen to the podcast, because it's out there, just for people to do that. Key number one was to pray in the name of Jesus. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we have his authority, his power of attorney, which means we must have his approval on anything we pray in his name. And we must be praying to bring honor to Jesus. Jesus will not allow you to use his name if he does not approve of what you're praying for, all right? That's what praying in the name of Jesus means. We're acting on his behalf, and because we're acting on his behalf, we have to have his approval, and we have to be doing it to honor him, not us, okay? Second key is not only must you pray in the name of Jesus, you must pray in the Spirit. It's very important to understand that if you want your prayers answered, then must you not only be saved, you must also be Spirit-filled. Now, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you have fully surrendered your life to the Holy Spirit. He is the president of your life. He's not just a resident in your heart. You are not just committed to the Spirit. You are fully surrendered to the Spirit. And I'm not going to delineate between committed and surrendered. Just understand that surrendered means that you're going to do whatever he says no matter what. And you don't have a choice, right? That's what being surrendered means. So, those are the first two keys. Key number one, pray in the name. Key number two, pray in the Spirit. Key number three, and here's where we get into our lesson today, pray in obedience. In obedience. So it is absolutely foolish to pray and ask God to answer your prayers if you're not obeying him. If you're not obeying him, why would he answer your prayer? There is a favorite hymn that we sing with the words, trust and obey, for there is no other way, right? Well, that's a very good description of this third key. If you want your prayer answered, then you must trust and obey the Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible is full of examples of great saints who knew better than to pray when they were disobeying the Lord. David was one of those. David knew better. And he said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So what does it mean to pray in obedience? Now let me illustrate it if I can. What does it mean to pray in obedience? It means that if I'm cherishing some sin in my heart, suppose I have some unconfessed, unrepented of sin, and I have that sin just right down here in my heart. And I have regard to it. And notice the Bible doesn't say, if I have sinned, the Lord will not hear me. We'd all be in trouble if that was true, right? If I have sinned, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, so here's this little old sin of mine. It's in my heart, and I'm going to hang on to that sin. You know, we like to excuse our sins often because we hold it in our heart by saying something like this, well, nobody is perfect. Everybody has their vice, and this one's my vice. You know, and so it's okay for me to have this vice because everybody else has a vice, right? So we've got some little old sin down here in our heart, and we have regard for it. And that means we know it's there, and we love having it there. We want it to be there. We say things like, sweet little fellow sin. You're such a nice sin to have down in my heart, all right? You know, and we just have regard for that particular sin. You know, we know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. We know it's sin. But we just don't want to give it up. It's just one of those things we don't want to give up. Like, I don't want to give up eating apple cake. You know, and it's not a sin for me to eat apple cake. It's a sin for me to eat 10 apple cakes, right? Yeah, and I would do it if somebody let me, right? But that's what it means to regard iniquity. And then, of all things, we have the audacity, the nerve to come to God and say, now, God, here's what I want you to do for me. Okay, the Christian will sin. You be quiet while I talk to God here, okay? Now, God, this is what I want you to do for me. Do you think God's going to hear that prayer? No, God's not going to hear that prayer. If God were to hear that prayer, then what would he be doing? He'd be encouraging us to sin. He'd be encouraging us to sin. How can I pray to God and ask God to do something for me when I harbor in my sin that which nailed his darling son to the cross? How can I do that? David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want God to hear your prayers, then confess those sins that you have regard for, and he will be faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So David knew better than to pray with an unconfessed sin in his heart, and Isaiah knew better as well. Isaiah 1:13-16 says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Now, those are verses worth turning to. Those are verses worth having marked in your Bible as something you can come back to, right? Isaiah is speaking to the people of his day, and he's speaking to God, and God says, bring no more vain oblations, and that is your foolish offerings. God says, there is coming a time when you'll spread forth your hands, you'll come to church, you'll give your offerings, and you'll go through all of your programs, and God says they are repugnant to me. Away with them. I don't want it. Now, listen to me. We insult the very God we pray to when we pray without obeying his command, when we pray with regard to sin in our heart. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, behold, the Lord's hands is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He will not hear. That means God is not crippled. God is not weak. God is not deaf. God sees the unconfessed sins in your heart, and he says they separated you from him. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. If you wish to have God answer your prayers, then you must be in obedience to God's commands. So now James knew better as well. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of what? A righteous man availeth much." James says that it is the prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Now, David knew better, Isaiah knew better, James knew better, and John knew better. 1 John 3:32 says, "And whatsoever we ask, if we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." Not that we get to do everything we want to do, it's because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, as you ask God to answer your prayers, number one, you must ask, am I in the name? Number two, am I in the spirit? Number three, am I in obedience? Am I obeying the Lord? Now, I want to be real clear here and understand that I'm not saying that when you obey God, you earn the answer to your prayers. It's grace all the way. But I am saying to you that you cannot harbor unconfessed, unrepented of sin in your life and expect to have power with God in prayer. Everybody understand that? Amen? Amen. All right. If you want your prayers answered, I didn't get a real strong amen there, did I? Does everybody agree with all that? Amen. All right. If you want your prayers answered, then you must pray in the name, you must pray in the spirit, and you must pray in obedience. Listen, sin will keep you from praying. Prayer, however, will keep you from sinning. Sin will keep you from praying. However, prayer will keep you from sinning. Amen? Amen. All right, so the fourth key is to pray in the will of God. Your prayer must be in the will of God. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, John is saying that we must ask in the will of God. Well, how are we going to know the will of God? Well, in order to know the will of God, we must want the will of God. You see, to know what God wants me to do, I must want to do what God wants me to do. God will not reveal his will to someone who will not do his will. That's a waste of his time. He will not waste time on you if you're not going to do his will. So, if I were to walk up to you right now, I mean, I just point blank, face to face, and look you right in the face and say, there's something God wants you to do. I'm absolutely certain that God wants you to do it. And you knew that I knew what God wanted you to do, and then I asked you, will you do it? What would you say? And you might say something like, well, probably, but first, let me hear what it is, right? First, let me hear what it is, Keith. I trust you, but let me hear what it is first, right? And it's not that you're doubting me, but you want to make sure that I'm not going to say that God wants you to go serve in the darkest jungles of Colombia someplace tomorrow, right? Yeah, you want to make sure that what God is telling me is the right thing for you, right? So, well, let's just suppose that you know that I know. You know that I know. Now, granted, I may not know God's will, but this is just an illustration, so hang with me, all right? You know that I know. And I walk up to you as God's appointed authority, and I say to you, there is something God wants you to do. Will you do it? Now, I do believe that most Christians would say something like, well, tell me what it is. I'd like to hear it first. Or, okay, Keith, I hear you, but I'd like to pray about it first. I'd like to go away and pray about it first, right? However, do you know what that answer should be? If you know that God wants you to do it, if you know that God wants you to do it, it should be, yep, I'll do it. Tell me what it is. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Before you even know what it is, your response should be, yes, I'll do it. Tell me what it is. We need to have made up our minds that no matter what God tells us in our prayer time, that there will be full and instantaneous obedience to the will of God. Even before the will of God is known to us, we are surrendered, not committed, but surrendered to do the will of God when He reveals it. Did a slave get to choose whether or not he wanted to do it or not? No, he didn't get to choose. He had to do it. He was surrendered to the will of his master. And when we commit to do something, we hold the power of choosing to go do it or not. I'm really committed, but maybe if I don't want to go do it, I don't go do it. That's the difference between commitment and surrender. When you are surrendered to the will of God, when you're surrendered to your master, you're going to do his will no matter what. You've already made up your mind, you're going to go do his will. You see, we don't have to worry about God's will because we know that his will is best. We don't have to question whether or not we need to go do it. Romans 12:12 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Prayer is not bending God's will to fit our will. It's not talking God into doing something that God ordinarily doesn't want to do. All prayer is finding the will of God and us getting in on it. All prayer is us finding the will of God and us getting in on it. The reason that many people pray and their prayers are not answered is they're not praying in the will of God. They're not praying in the will of God. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." Ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Now that word amiss means that you're asking with the wrong intent. Now, that doesn't mean you cannot ask for personal needs. God's honor is fulfilled when your personal needs are met. But you cannot ask for selfish needs. So many people have misunderstood the Bible when it says in Psalms 37:4, boy, I've had this one quoted to me, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, does that mean that you can have anything that you want? Yeah, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Well, yes and no. Yeah, yes and no, okay? Look at it carefully. His promise is not made to just anyone. Yeah, if all you do is read this last half of that verse, then that's the interpretation that you get, right? But read the first half of that verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say or. He says and. You got to delight yourself in the Lord. Now, not the frivolous things. He's not going to give, he will give you your heart's need, the thing that your heart desires and longs for, but that's not a pink Cadillac and or a swimming pool in your backyard, which may be what your heart desires, right? What your heart needs is what he's going to give you. A heart that is in love with God is going to have its needs met. So many people say, well, the Bible's promises are not true. The Bible promises are not true. They read a verse out of Matthew 7:7. What does it say? "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." They say, well, Brother Keith, I asked, and I didn't get it. I sought, and I didn't find it. I knocked, and that door was not opened to me. So what does that mean? That means that the Bible, therefore, is untrue. It's telling a lie. Now listen, any text without context is a pretext. Any text without context is a pretext. And when you read Matthew 7, I'm going to tell you something just absolutely here that's going to be astounding to you. It's just going to be an epiphany of new knowledge that you just didn't have whatsoever here, right? Chapter 7 of the book of Matthew comes right after chapter 6. Now, isn't that amazing? Chapter 7 of the book of Matthew comes right after chapter 6. If you want to understand Matthew chapter 7, then you have to understand Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says in chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So after Jesus tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in chapter 6, then in 7 he says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Who can ask and seek? That person who is seeking God first with all of his heart. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? God is not your heavenly bellboy, a glorified Santa Claus to wait upon you hand and foot. But when you say to him something like, oh God, with every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber, as much as in me is, oh God, I want your will. I seek you, seek first your kingdom. God says, I'm going to take care of you, child. I'm going to take care of you, child. You put my business first, and I'm going to make it my business to take care of you. And you can come to me and ask, and I'll hear you. You can come to me and seek, and you'll be found. And you can come to me and knock, and I'm going to open those doors to you if you seek me first. Listen to me. We must pray in the will of God. And the way to pray in the will of God is to be surrendered to that will, to want that will, to listen to that will, and to get in the Word of God. Jesus said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Why? Because what you will and what he wills are the same thing. What you will and what he wills are the same thing. Because you are in him and he is in you. His word is in your heart. It abides in your heart. And you delight yourself in him. And you seek him first, his kingdom. When that is true, then you find yourself not talking to God into doing things that he ordinarily wouldn't want to do, but you find yourself receiving those blessings that God has foreordained and planned for you to have. And by the way, you're never going to talk God into doing something that he doesn't want to do, right? I just want to make that clear, okay? But people's objective in this seems to be at times when they pray that they want God to do something they don't think he's doing, right? God, I think you're wrong in doing what you're doing here, so let's sort this thing out, right? And you do what I want you to do. All right, so you must pray in the will of God, and that's the fourth key. Now, the fifth key is to pray in fellowship. Now, this is a little bit different fellowship than when I talked about at the very beginning of the lesson, but that's okay. The word can have two meanings. Number one, you pray in the name. Number two, in the spirit. Number three, in obedience. Number four, in the will of God. Number five is you must pray in fellowship. And in fellowship, Mark 11:25-26. And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, this is telling us that if we are out of fellowship with somebody else, then we are out of fellowship with the Father. That is, if we have an unforgiving spirit in our heart. Now, there's sometimes you can't be in fellowship with somebody because they don't want to be in fellowship with you. But this is if you have an unforgiving heart is the reason why you're out of fellowship with somebody. You have to pray in fellowship. You have to be in tune, and so many people are harboring grudges against somebody who's done something to them or for them or against them or whatever, all right? So many people have bitterness in their heart and an unforgiving spirit, and they wonder why their life is so barren and their prayers are so unfruitful. Let me ask you, do you and your spouse argue? Do you and your spouse argue, all right? If you do, then when you're arguing, you're not in harmony, right? You're not in oneness, and you're not in fellowship. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands and wives whose relationships who are filled with bitterness and rancor and arguing and all these things, They stop their prayers from being answered. They never even get past the ceiling of their house. They never get outside, right? We must pray in fellowship. We must be in harmony with our brothers and sisters in Christ. To have your prayers answered, they must be in harmony with one another, right? Now, that's the fifth key, to pray in fellowship. Here's the sixth key. We're going to get to all six of them here today. Amen, right? To pray in faith. Pray in faith. Now, by the way, praying in faith is really just the sum total of all these other things, these other five, six keys. When you're in the name, when you're in the spirit, when you're in obedience, when you're in the will, and when you're in harmony, then by default, you're going to find faith. It's going to be there. You see, faith is not something that you have to muster up. You have to say, okay, I'm going to start really believing right here, right now, and have your life in a total mess everywhere else, right? That's not faith. Faith is the byproduct of placing yourself where that faith can be, and it can be in your heart, all right? Matthew 21:22 says, and all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Now pray and believe and you'll receive. Pray in doubt, you'll do without. Pray, believe, and you'll receive. Pray in doubt, you do without. Listen to what Jesus says, all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No prayer has ever been answered that is not a prayer of faith. No prayer has ever been answered that was not a prayer of faith. No prayer of faith has ever been unanswered. No prayer of faith has ever been unanswered. Don't ever tell me that you pray in faith and God didn't hear your prayer. I won't believe it. I won't believe it, because when God gives faith, that's a sign he intends to answer that prayer. And that's the reason the Bible says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You must pray in faith. And you know why I left this clear to the very end in those verses like that? Because to be able to pray in faith and believe, you got to be doing all those other five things. All right? Don't take these verses out of context. This faith comes as the sixth key here. All right? So many times I find myself, when I'm praying, I'm begging God, I'm pleading with God, I'm agonizing with God, and then finally it comes to me. Oh, I understand. You're waiting for me to believe in you. And I just say, okay, thank you, Lord. And I feel a burden I feel all that burden gone from me, and I feel the joy come, and I feel that if I don't have that answer in my hand, I know it's already in my heart. It's already in my heart. Now, notice this. When you pray in faith, the emphasis is not on the word faith, it's upon the word God. Have faith in God. The emphasis needs to be on the object of your faith, not the faith, right? Have faith in God. It is not faith that answers your prayer. It is God that answers your prayer. Faith is just preparing your heart for God's answer. And think about God as the one who answers, who calls upon us to pray. There's no sense praying without confidence. We must pray in confidence to pray in faith. Now, Abraham was the father of the faithful, and God heard his prayer. And let me show you why. Romans 4:19-20 says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, did you know that faith, above all things, gives glory to God? Faith honors God, and therefore God honors faith. Faith is not trying to psych yourself up into some type of a positive feeling. Faith is not working yourself up into some type of a frenzy. Faith is just letting your heart be open to God and let God just dump that whole big lump of faith right there in an open heart, ready to do His will, right? When you come to these other five steps, if you pray in the name, if you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in obedience, if you pray in the will of God, if you pray in fellowship with the other saints, then you'll find yourself praying in faith to God. Then God will answer your prayer. Amen. Amen.